Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Voices Carry for Animals, number 328 shows and counting. And I want to welcome all you new listeners aboard. I hope you enjoy the show and keep coming back and you know, spreading the word out there, because the more awareness and education and prevention and safety of these animal friends and need and distress, the better that, you know, we can get the changes made, because we are strength in numbers. Ray Bittner, Mama, aka Mama Cat, she told me that, and it means so much. It's so powerful. So because, and it's true, because the more of us that come together and take action, the faster the changes will be made. You know, so whatever we can do, every effort counts, everyone. And just do your part, because the animals cannot speak for themselves. They can't defend themselves. You know, they're voiceless and helpless. So there were their only hope to carry on for their, you know, better lives and futures. And even for the animals that's not even born yet in their futures. So please do your part. Take that action. Contact your state legislators. And that's the first step in the right direction. And I'll give you that area code 202-224-3121. And during business hours, during the week, you know, you can just give your zip code and they'll connect you to either your state rep or senator, and try to be polite and professional when contacting them. You can also, you know, get, whatever, you can also contact them by email. So please, everyone, do your part and go from there. But I'm going to go ahead and just a little bit here and go in my, I'm going to bring my guest on in a few minutes. And she's, you know, she's awesome. Mary Ann Holm from Lucy in Canada, the Edmonton Zoo. So I want to go over just a couple things and bring her on. Hopefully everything, you know, we get started here. We're going to make some calls here soon. Or, you know, the callers can call in with any questions or comments, and we'll go from there. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Voices Carry for Animals. And I want to, you know, just go over a couple things. This show is coming over from the PPJ Gazette Online, and that's the PP or www.ppjg.me. and that's Marty Oakley's website. And I'll give her a big shout out because that's where Voices Carry for Animals originated from on TS Radio Network, up to 163 shows, and I was the host. And a big thank you to her. She's a great team player and also a great voice on everyone. So please try to visit any of her shows that she has. She's got some. She's a great host, and also she has great hosts that's hosting the shows all week long. And how to get that is the PPJ Gazette online. You can press follow in the right-hand column, and every time there's a new podcast coming in, either for my show or her shows, it will alert you in your primary email. And you can also share from the bottom of each promo or article at the bottom with the social media icons. You can listen to the show worldwide, everyone. So you can listen by phone, and I will be taking calls later part in the show. Area code 310-982-4270, and you'll be in the queue. We got a packed house tonight, everyone. Thank you, all you listeners. And just press one, and I will let you in. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. I just want to go over one other thing. I was on Blog Talk Radio. You can all these shows are live every Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, and you can go back to any of them because they're all recorded live on Thursdays and archived on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescarryforanimals. So you can share from the left side of the screen 24/7 to other social media sites. There's icons, just press and go forward. And if you want to go back to the PPJ Gazette, on the right-hand column, just search Voices Carry for Animals, and all the links will pop up, and just click which one you want to hear and wait a minute to download, and it will play. So, you know, we're on this radio platform, everyone, and it's great for the animals, all the animals in need, stuff, you know, speaking out for them, bringing awareness, education, encouraging everyone to take action. And that's the key to any changes to be made. So do your part, please, because there's millions and millions of people out there in America and a lot of animal advocates. And a big shout out to all you animal rights activists, advocates, animal lovers out there that's helping the animals out in need and distress, whether it be through social media or, you know, taking action, making phone calls, signing petitions, writing letters, emails. You know, that's the key. And all you animal advocates out there from every angle, you all of you rock, and you're rocking the animals' world for positive changes to be made. So a big thank you to all of you, because all of us together, we become stronger and we become better in it from every angle. And when those victories come through, we want to jump to the ceiling, the victory dance, the happy dance, and that's what we all are striving for. So the more team effort and team strength, everyone leads to the strong victories. So we can do it. And a big shout out to all you animal advocates and cross posters and networkers that's helping save these animals from death row and bringing them to safety. There's so many of them that's being put down, euthanized because of overcrowding. And it's so sad. And you're all working relentless to get their lives saved. And I know it's very hurtful and heartbreaking when they lose their lives because of overcrowding. And there's no set age. It's they take them, you know, there's so many that go down over, you know, millions and millions a year get put down because of overcrowding. So please, everyone, adopt, don't shop. Please spay and neuter your pets. There are solutions to all this, and we have to do it. You know, I hope there are more adoption events. You know, the mainstream media gets more involved you know, more, you know, events where they have animals available for adoption, to have this keep going in a positive direction, because of these millions a year that get put down. That is sad and heartbreaking. So whatever we can do, but I want to bring my guest on, Mary Ann Holmes. She's the president and campaign coordinator at Lucy's Edmonton Advocates Project. And this, she's been on the show many times and always welcome back. And the topic tonight, everyone, an update on Lucy the elephant at the Edmonton Valley Zoo. Still waiting for a sanctuary after 44 years. She's 46 years old now, came there at 2 years of age. And this is such a difficult time, because why is it so hard and difficult for her to get released to a sanctuary is a big question, because she's in prison and there's no other word for it. And she, you know, she can't socialize. We're having another probably cold, very cold winter up there in Canada. And it's just so heartbreaking. And I'm so appalled, you know, just to hear this going around, and there's so many efforts that's being made with SHARE getting involved and Free the Wild and Nika. I mean, there's just so many people involved, and that's want her out, including myself. But I want to go introduce her. Mary Ann Holmes, welcome back to Voices Care for Animals. How are you this evening? This is wonderful.
I'm really good. Thank you, Debbie. Thanks for having me back again. I'm always
happy
to have an opportunity to share information about Lucy and get more people involved with her cause. So thank you very much.
Hey, you're so truly welcome. My pleasure always, you know. Like I said, I know there's no limit on how many times a guest can come on here. You know, keep updated, progress, victories, you know, whatever we can do, the more exposure, the better out there. We just don't have you on one time and then goodbye, you know. But this, you want to refresh the audience on how, you know, how this got started. And it's so sad, Mary Ann. I mean, I look at these photos, it's like, let her go. Why? I mean, how can anybody be that heartless and cruel and give a big hassle for this? Just like Nosy the elephant, she got sent to a sanctuary, got her own law, Nosy's law up in New Jersey, and it was a huge battle, but she's there, and she's happy, and there's those happy pictures, freedom pictures. And Barbara Levette and Robin Verturley, they worked hard also, and a big shout-out to them for doing what they could. But we want to see, you know, Lucy go to one too, and just like the rest of them, this animals in captivity is so wrong. They deserve to be in freedom. But go ahead and how this happened with Lucy, and then later on in the show we'll be taking calls, okay? We'll go right ahead.
Okay, sure, yeah. For those who may not be aware, I'll just give a little summary about Lucy. Lucy is a Sri Lankan elephant that was captured from the wild at about 2 years of age and sold to the Edmonton Valley Zoo here in my city back in 1977. Very tragic situation. We know that typically back then, and still happens to this day, that often herds are culled in order to obtain these very valuable baby elephants that they turn around and sell for profit to Western zoos. So we suspect, although we don't know, that Lucy's herd was likely culled in order to obtain her, because we know the close bonds between elephants. They would never allow someone just to come in and grab a baby without a huge fight. So oftentimes the herd is culled and they kidnap the babies, and, you know, in horrific situations where they witness, you know, the murder of their their families, and then they're carted off to strange lands, inappropriate climates, and, you know, just horrible situation for these poor elephants. So poor Lucy was grabbed at 2 years of age to come to Canada, to a climate that, of course, no elephant should be subjected to. She does not have a fur coat, and many months, at least half the year here in Canada, the climate is inappropriate for a tropical animal such as an elephant. Sadly, as well, we know that one of the cruelest things you can do to an elephant is to keep them solitary. So not only was Lucy taken from her family, but she's been held here at the Edmonton Valley Zoo now, as you mentioned, for 44 years, without the company ever of her own species. She's never lived with an Asian elephant. She did spend about 16 years with an African elephant who was crammed as well into that tiny little enclosure. If your listeners have seen pictures of Lucy's barn, you can see what a tiny little barren concrete windowless barn that Lucy lives in. And with our climate being as it is, she spends at least two-thirds of her life in that tiny barn. But at one point, she also had a companion African elephant in there with her named Samantha. Now, normally zoos won't house, or not zoos, but normally reputable facilities would not house an Asian and African elephant together. They are a different species. They speak a different language. And they're typically not that compatible. But Lucy was in that tiny enclosure with Samantha. And although the zoo claims now, as one of the reasons they use to make the claim that Lucy doesn't like other elephants, is that Lucy and Samantha didn't get along. Now, perhaps that's true. It wouldn't be unusual that the two species didn't get along. But we have seen many photos of Lucy standing with Samantha, engaged in a trunk wrapping behavior, which generally is a sign of affection. So we don't know the extent of their bond, but we believe there was some bond, and, you know, Lucy at least had some companionship for that period of time. And then in 2006, it was decided to send Samantha off to the North Carolina Zoo on a breeding loan. It was called a breeding loan, but Samantha has never come back, and she is still at the North Carolina Zoo to this day. If you visit their site, you can see her, and you can see the difference. She, out of the two, definitely got the better end of the deal in a more fitting climate, and Samantha also has companions at the North Carolina Zoo. They have at least a water area, a place for the elephants to go in the water. Still a zoo, though, and we know from years of learning about elephants that no elephant belongs in any zoo, but some certainly are better than others, and Samantha is in a much better situation than poor Lucy is at this moment. So after 2006, when Samantha left, Lucy has been all alone ever since. And during this time of living here in Canada, she has developed numerous captivity-related conditions. All elephants kept in zoos will end up with captivity-related conditions, not just Lucy. But in Lucy's case, it's even more detrimental just because of our climate here. So we know that keeping elephants in concrete enclosures causes problems long-term to their joints and to their sensitive feet. They need soft substrates. They need exercise, walking up and down, you know, spongy forest areas, which is appropriate for an elephant, not standing on concrete, and it definitely, as in Lucy's case, not traversing through snow and ice, as Lucy does many months of the year. So the Valley Zoo will take her outside in the dead of winter, and they have a criteria that as long as it's warmer than minus 15 degrees Celsius, she's allowed to go outside, and they will take her out in the snow. Of course, she's walked around the zoo, but only on very controlled walks. Lucy has no freedom whatsoever, so she is always walked and flanked by zookeepers that carry bullhooks to keep her controlled, to keep her on the pathways where they want her to go. And We've witnessed it many times. We go to observe Lucy. They want to ensure that Lucy doesn't damage any of the property, doing what an elephant would normally do, which would be wanting to forage through the trees and, you know, eat the plants and various things. Lucy, of course, is not allowed to do that. They don't want her damaging any of the zoo property. So she's kept very tightly controlled. But in the wintertime, it's just a horrible sight to actually see this elephant out there. You can see the condensation coming from her breath because it's freezing cold temperatures. You can hear the snow crackling underneath her feet as she steps. And if you look on her face, you can see the pain with every step she takes, because not only does she suffer from arthritis, as almost every zoo elephant does, she is subjected to the freezing cold temperatures, which would make that arthritis even more painful for her than it would be for a lot of other captive elephants. So it's just absolutely tragic to see. And in addition to the problems with her feet and her arthritis, Lucy has other captivity-related conditions that are commonly seen in zoo elephants, one of which is obesity. Lucy is about 1,000 pounds overweight, and, of course, that is due to a lack of exercise. So not only, you know, do zoo elephants not get exercise or anything near what they should. Normally we can see a wild elephants roaming, you know, up to 50 miles a day. Lucy doesn't get anything near that type of exercise. And she gets even less, because on those cold days of the year where it is colder than the temperature I outlined, she doesn't even leave her barn. So she gets zero exercise. The other thing that's really disturbing is that Lucy has never been given a place to swim. And if you have a chance to look at some of the sanctuaries and check out the footage of their elephants or wild elephants, you'll see that elephants absolutely love to be in the water and they love to swim. It's a part of their natural behavior and is very important for their physical and mental well-being. This elephant, being stuck here for 44 years, has never been able to immerse herself in the water. We have pushed very hard to have the Edmonton Valley Zoo build her a hydrotherapy pool, but it seems that they don't feel the need to spend any money on this poor elephant as they continue to upgrade various areas of the zoo, and Lucy still waits for her pool. And in her case, and in any elephant's case who's suffering from arthritis, as you can appreciate, the buoyancy of water would allow some pressure to be taken off of her joints. Elephants weigh 4 tons, 8,000 pounds. In Lucy's case, she weighs 9,000 pounds most of the time. Her weight fluctuates somewhat. That's 9,000 pounds of pressure on those feet. So if she could be in water and have the buoyancy of water to take some pressure off the joints and her sensitive feet, which also have abscesses and cracked toenails, et cetera, it would certainly be very therapeutic for her. It would also give her a chance to exercise while she's trapped indoors during the cold weather, and it would give her some enrichment. It would, you know, allow her to at least do something that an elephant normally does, and they just absolutely love to be in water. So that's, you know, something that Lucy's lacking. She also suffers from dental issues. Again, another common issue in captive elephants, because they're not fed the appropriate diet that elephants in the wild get. Normally, elephants can eat up to 40, 50 different species of plants and roots and vegetables and fruits out in the wild. Lucy's diet, and we do get her records through Freedom of Information, consists primarily of dried grasses like hay. She gets some sort of a kibble, which would be like a dog or cat food kibble, but for elephants. She gets beet pulp and the occasional treat of popcorn and other such stuff, but certainly not a diet appropriate for an elephant. So for that reason, elephants in zoos and Lucy suffer from dental issues. Elephants in the wild, I'm sure you, many of your listeners have seen footage where they'll pull a branch down and they'll strip the branch of bark and they'll chew on that branch, and that's really important for their dental health. And if Lucy's only consuming soft, dry grasses, she's not giving her teeth the workout that they need to maintain their health. So consequently, Lucy has had chronic dental issues. We have a picture of Lucy with her mouth open, and instead of her teeth sitting straight and upright, they are basically sliding sideways. And I read in her records, because of her teeth issues, she has a lot of decay in her mouth. She has pockets in areas around her teeth where food collects. They talk about her foul breath. So, you know, she also has pain from her teeth and difficulty chewing. So that's another issue she contends with that's painful. And then that issue leads again to another problem, which is colic. And colic is a digestive issue that are seen in a lot of different animals, common in horses as well. And it's basically caused from numerous things, poor diet again, poor teeth, so Lucy isn't able to chew her food as well as she should or grind it down the way it needs to be, so that, you know, prevents proper digestion. Also, dehydration is another cause of colic, and this is another issue we've had with the Edmonton Valley Zoo. Lucy has always been given water through a hose, a garden hose. So rather than where we see in sanctuaries where there'll be big troughs or lakes or ponds of water that the elephants can drink from, Lucy is handed a garden hose and she sticks it in her mouth and she gives herself water. Not great, because normally elephants don't drink freezing cold water. They drink water at ambient temperatures. But the other issue is that Lucy is alone half of her day. So our zoo here in Edmonton, because of our climate, and it's actually not a very popular zoo, so the hours are quite short, 9 to 4 in the winter. So on off hours at the zoo, Lucy is there many hours alone. Where is she getting her water source from? She should have access to water 24 hours a day, but we know her keepers are not there 24 hours a day. So we suspect that dehydration is also contributing to Lucy's colic. And this one really scares us because it's life-threatening, as are all the conditions Lucy has. But we've been reading in recent years that the colic is increasing, and now we understand that on a few occasions Lucy's actually gone down while they've been out walking her throughout the zoo. And they describe that she lays down in the middle of the sidewalk, and she will lay there sort of in awkward positions, almost like she's trying to find a comfortable way to lay to relieve the pain. And then they describe that she slaps her trunk against her abdomen. And it's just heartbreaking to read stuff like that, because this is completely preventable. And we just don't hear of this happening. And I can give, in a sanctuary, we don't hear of this happening very often, and certainly very rare for it to happen in the wild. And a perfect example of this is an elephant that we often mention whose story very much mimics Lucy's. And this was Maggie, an elephant in Alaska. And a similar campaign was launched there, where there was advocates pushing for Maggie's release to sanctuary. The zoo was making the same claims as the Edmonton Valley Zoo does. And the claims are that, you know, Lucy is bonded to her keepers, that Lucy wouldn't survive the move because she, you know, has various medical issues, and moving her would put her at risk, that Lucy doesn't like other elephants. They base that on, of course, her interaction with Samantha. And, you know, these are the type of rhetoric that zoos will use. The Alaska Zoo used the exact same claims about Maggie and claimed the same things, that Maggie would die if moved. And Maggie continued to get worse and worse, and her primary issue was colic, as Lucy now has. And Maggie actually went down a couple of times in her enclosure where the Anchorage Zoo had to bring in cranes to get the elephant back up on her feet. And it wasn't until she got to quite a detrimental situation that the zoo there finally agreed and listened to advocates pressuring them to bring in a team of experts to examine Maggie and determine if they felt she could make the trip to sanctuary and if that was, you know, the best thing for Maggie. So they brought in a team finally, and fortunately, out of the team of 11 consultants, only one said that she wouldn't make the move to sanctuary. So thankfully, Maggie was moved. That was 14 years ago, and sadly, Maggie did just pass away a few months ago, but she survived for 13 years or more, it might be 14, at Paws Sanctuary in California. And this was a very sick elephant, sicker actually in many ways than Lucy has been, at least at that time. And she made the trip. She made the journey to sanctuary. She was actually flown by a U.S. military plane. And she had a wonderful life for the last 13 years where she could finally be an elephant. And as far as I could understand, no more episodes of colic from Maggie once she got to an appropriate environment with appropriate veterinary care and diet. So we bring up Maggie a lot because they're very similar situations. So again, another issue that Lucy suffers from is colic, just as Maggie had. And then, of course, lastly, the mental duress of being held captive, being kept alone. I think most people are aware that elephants are herd animals. They're very, very intelligent, very social, and they normally exist in large matriarchal herds where aunts and grandmothers and mothers and cousins and babies all live together for their entire lives and take care of each other. And imagine an intelligent animal sitting in a tiny little concrete barn in frigid northern Canada, who has no stimulation whatsoever, and she starts to go mad. So Lucy displays zoocosis, which we see in circus animals and zoo animals, where they do these repetitive movements where they rock back and forth, swaying side to side, bobbing their head up and down. That is a very ominous sign that these animals are going crazy. There's a lot of footage of Lucy displaying that behavior, and it's just heartbreaking. And they do it as a self-soothing mechanism because they're so bored, so lonely, that they're rocking back and forth occupies their time. And sometimes, even in rescued animals and elephants, they have done this behavior for so long that once they get to sanctuary, it persists just out of habit. But oftentimes we see it actually disappear because they finally have the stimulation that they've been looking for and the companionship, etc. So that's another issue for Lucy. And then the last issue is the one that the Valley Zoo uses as their reason to say that Lucy would not survive being moved. And they claim that Lucy has a respiratory condition that causes her, that she has breathing issues. We don't deny that there's probably some truth to that. I have observed Lucy many times, and normally, most of the time, elephants will breathe through their trunk, but they can breathe through their mouth as well. Apparently, Lucy has a constriction in one side of her trunk, and so when she's exerting or during times of stress, she will breathe through her mouth. And the Edmonton Valley Zoo has claimed that this is the reason why transporting Lucy would be dangerous. And we question that. First of all, we question why they don't have a proper diagnosis established of what this breathing problem is and why they refuse to allow in world-renowned experts to help them determine the nature of the problem. But we also question that the problem itself would actually put Lucy at risk for transport because it's only one side of her trunk that's blocked, and she is able to breathe through her mouth. So it is our opinion, based on speaking with some world-renowned experts and veterinarians that without knowing Lucy's oxygenation and how her breathing is actually working and whether she's able to oxygenate properly, we don't know that she's at any more risk than anyone else. That's like me. If I caught a cold and my nose was plugged, I can still breathe through my mouth, and I think I could still take a trip. I don't think it would prevent me from being transported. So, you know, without having objective data that tells us whether Lucy's lungs are functioning well enough to oxygenate her properly, it's hearsay at this point that she's at risk for transport. But this is why we have always said, we've never advocated just taking the risk and putting Lucy on a truck and shipping her off to sanctuary. We have been pressing for years, not just us, but there is many groups fighting for Lucy that have asked to bring in a world-renowned experts to examine Lucy, see if they feel that she could survive the move to sanctuary. And in particular, we'd like to hear from a sanctuary expert. They are the ones that are experienced in moving older and ailing elephants. Here in North America, any elephant that's been relocated to sanctuary has never lost their life in transit. So there's no reason to believe Lucy would either. And we know for a fact that the sanctuaries are very cautious and careful. And if they felt that Lucy's life would be at risk, they would not be willing to put her at risk. And they would say that they wouldn't accept her to sanctuary. But as it stands right now, there is an offer for Lucy to reside at all three of the, there's a new sanctuary that just opened up in the U.S., and Lucy would have a home at any of those sanctuaries if the Valley Zoo would agree to release her. But unfortunately, they continue with their rhetoric that Lucy would die if moved, and they fight every attempt to try and bring in any kind of experts to examine Lucy. So what they do is they will do annual examinations of her, and they will bring in their paid circus zoo vets to come in, examine Lucy, and every year they say the same thing, that Lucy is better off staying here in Edmonton, that her life would be at risk if she was moved to sanctuary, and they refuse to allow anyone outside of the zoo industry in to actually look at Lucy. So until we hear from somebody unbiased and independent, we reject their claims that Lucy wouldn't survive transport, and we continue to push the Valley Zoo to finally bring in a team of experts to examine Lucy. And lastly, I'll just add to that, recently, as you mentioned, Lucy caught the attention of Superstar Cher and her organization Free the Wild. And Free the Wild has joined our efforts to try and advocate for Lucy to finally be examined by an independent team of experts. So to that end, Cher herself wrote a letter to our mayor and to our zoo director requesting that they allow Free the Wild to bring in a team of international experts to examine Lucy and give recommendations as to what would be best for her going forward. And there was a lot of back and forth between Free the Wild and the Valley Zoo. Just one moment, please.
Well, go ahead.
Sorry. A little bit of noise in my background here. It's throwing me off.
No problem.
Anyways, offered to fund this team of experts to come in, and we had hoped that the zoo implied that they were considering Cher's offer. They also implied they were considering our suggestion to bring in a sanctuary expert, but in the end, just a couple of weeks ago, they replied back to Cher and Free the Wild that they were not going to accept the offer to fund the experts. So we were very disappointed. But what was really strange in their response was, of course, there was a backlash when they said that. And what was odd is when they started getting pressured from people asking why they would reject this offer, they claimed that they're still considering Cher's offer, but they just didn't want the funding. They didn't need the funding to pay for the experts. So, you know, that was sort of strange considering, you know, during this time of a pandemic where jurisdictions are struggling financially, that they would return, you know, turn down an offer of this financial assistance. That seemed odd that they would still consider using the vets. But we have since learned through Free the Wild that the vets that they recommended have not been contacted by the Edmonton Valley Zoo. So I guess they were lying when they said they were considering bringing in
this
those experts
disgusting.
Because it is disgusting. We, as far as we know, those experts are not coming in. We also understand that the sanctuary expert that we were recommending will not be coming as well. So apparently these new evaluations are going to be done. They're still doing their so-called expert consultations, as they call them. They're supposed to be completed by the end of October. But we hold out very little hope of anything coming from those examinations other than the same thing that the Valley Zoo has said for over a decade now, and we expect more of the same unqualified, biased examinations that will again say that Lucy can't be relocated. So this is where we sit right now. In saying that, though, Free the Wild continues to be in Lucy's corner, and we continue to collaborate to try and find, you know, other avenues to approach this. So nobody's given up. Nobody's, you know, going
good.
Away, and we will never give up on Lucy.
That's
but
good.
It's just one roadblock after another after another. And so we need everybody's support for this elephant. So please join us in our efforts to help Lucy, and sometime before the end of the program, I'll just give out some contact information. But I believe you've also got everything posted on your site, Debbie, as to how you can get involved with Lucy and how you can help us help her.
Oh, yes. I got it. Everyone, all the audience out there, Voices Care for Animals support group. If you're not already a member, you could request to join. And at the top, it's going to be the featured post, and it is it runs for a week. It's the promo for the shows, and all the information, websites, Facebook pages, Twitter, petitions, all is in that post, so you can check it out. And please spread the word, you know, share or whatever you need to do to help out, because we need to get Lucy out of there. This is so inhumane and so ridiculous that the hard, you know, the hassle of getting her out, she deserves to be in a sanctuary, you know, just like Nosy. Look at you, Nosy the elephant. It was working hard. And a big shout out to Lucy Edmonton Advocates Project, all of you. Thank you for everything you're doing. What a strong team, and sticking together and not giving up through all these roadblocks. You know, that's where teamwork comes in, because if you give up, you automatically lose. And we don't want that. And that's why thank God for animal advocates out there, because if there wasn't any, this world would be 10 times worse, you know, with these animals.
Yeah.
And they deserve to live freely, you know, and comfortably, not free from fear, anxiety, torture, abuse, neglect. You know, they deserve their all lives matter, including all the animals. So, you know, please do your part. Spread the word. Let's get her out of there. Let's make some noise. And Marianne, like she said, she's going to give the information to the website and Facebook pages and stuff like that to go. You can get involved. And please spread the word. You know, so this is so important. 44 years of Lucy's life being locked up in a zoo. This is so sad and heartbreaking. It's gut-wrenching. It's mind-blowing. And to the ones at the zoo, please wake up, turn over a new leaf, and release her. There's no excuse for this. I mean, let her live the rest of her life in a sanctuary. How would you like to be Lucy and living like that? I don't think all of us would hate that. It would be so unfair. And so
we really struggle here too in Edmonton is that the zoo has a very good propaganda campaign going, and they have brainwashed the citizens here. So we struggle still to this day, even though we've made great strides in getting, you know, more people, local people to her cause. But we still struggle because the zoo has done a really good job. I will give them credit. Maybe not a great job of managing an elephant, but a great job at brainwashing the citizens here in Edmonton. Mm. And people have really fallen for the claim that Lucy would die if moved. So, you know, we come up against some opposition when, you know, we're out doing our public awareness events, and people will say, but she's going to die if she's moved, and will look to us as if we want to put Lucy's life at risk because they believe, you know, what they've been told. And we just wish that people would do some independent research and not just believe the rhetoric coming from the zoo, because really all it would take is about 5 minutes to, you know, look over what the needs of an elephant are, review how elephants live in sanctuaries and in the wild, and you would quickly change your opinion, but people just don't. And we just struggle trying to get the message out there. Although, you know, we've come a long way. LEAP started in 2015, and we started with just a couple of us, and now, you know, up to almost 7,000 members. And we did a poll this year. We thought finally, we were reluctant years before to poll the citizens in our city to find out their position on Lucy. And we were pleasantly surprised to learn that 2/3 of citizens now do support Lucy being moved to sanctuary. So, you know, I'll give us a little pat on the back because the efforts to, you know, get the public awareness out there obviously did something. And I also want to just give a shout out to the team at LEAP because it's certainly not just me. We have a wonderful group of advocates or admins that help run LEAP. You know, we have a webpage, we have Instagram, we have Twitter, we have TikTok. You know, we're on every platform, and that takes a team to manage all of that. And we have an excellent team: Sam Wincup, Marilyn Glazer, LJ Waki. We also have Laura, one of our admins. We have Amelia Bedard. We have an excellent group that work really hard behind the scenes. Just a lot of them don't like to be in the public eye, so I'm always the one that you guys have to listen to. But they work really, really hard behind the scenes helping with Lucy's cause. So really, really grateful, and also so grateful to the other advocate groups, some of them you've mentioned, that we collaborate with. So you mentioned Nosy. Nosy's team at Save Nosy Now has worked to help and spread the word about Lucy. Another group was Kavan's group. Kavan was the elephant in Cambodia that Cher was involved with rescuing last year. And there was a group there called Team Kavan that we, you know, would collaborate with as well. Also, the Elephant Guardians in Los Angeles, who advocate for Billy and the other elephants at the Los Angeles Zoo. We've got our friends of the Oregon Zoo elephants. And so we work collaboratively with a lot of these groups who help us spread the word. And, you know, likewise, we try to do the same for their elephants. So it's teamwork and it's sharing on social media. So we appreciate anyone out there who would like to help. Look us up on Facebook. We're known as LEAP, but that stands for Lucy's Edmonton Advocates Project. And you can also find us on Twitter and, as I mentioned, Instagram. And we just recently started a TikTok as well. And that's really taken off. We're getting a lot of shares and views on TikTok. So one of our admins is working really hard to get her name out there on TikTok. So lots going on for Lucy. The other thing I wanted to mention, which is upcoming and is quite exciting, is there going to be a new documentary film that's going to feature Lucy. And it is probably going to be about a year before it actually is able to be viewed, but it's in the works right now. Filming has already started, and filming kicked off here in Edmonton a couple of weeks when we held our demonstration for Lucy for World Elephant Day, which we had on the 15th of August. So the documentary film crew was here in Edmonton filming our group, and we had almost 60 advocates out for Lucy that day, chanting outside of the Edmonton Valley Zoo, and as well we had some local media there. So it was a really well-attended demonstration on behalf of Lucy with some media coverage, and that kicked off our documentary film. So I can't divulge too many details about the documentary, but it's going to be a lot of very well-known elephant experts speaking, some celebrities, and it will also touch on some of the other elephants that are in zoos right now as well that need rescue. So it's going to be a film about the about captive elephants and the issues surrounding their captivity, with a major focus on Lucy. So we're really, really excited about that. So that's something coming up in the future as well.
Yeah, so yeah, to everyone, whatever you could do, sign petitions, write them letters. I mean, we got to get her out of there. It's just going on so long. And if anybody wants to call in right now, 310-982-4270. You're already in the queue. Just press 1 and alert me to let me know that you want to speak to Marianne, okay? And, you know, just try to be professional and polite. And please spread the word about Lucy. We got to become stronger. Strength in numbers, everyone, and get her out of here. You know, get the freedom, because it's not right. I mean, it's so... what's going on? And we got a caller here, area code 719. Go right ahead. You're live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio. Go ahead.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, Marianne. This is Ray.
Hey,
hi,
Mama
there.
Cat. How are you?
I'm doing Ray good. Bitten. Sorry. I meant to call in earlier, but I was in a disagreement on the zoo website with some loudmouth, so.
Oh. On our zoo website?
No, on the Edmund, about Lucy.
At the Edmonton Zoo? Oh, okay. Well, thank you for speaking out.
They don't know what the hell they're talking about. She's too old. And I've got pictures. She's doing great.
You know, it's interesting because
blah, blah, blah.
The claim that Lucy's too old, and it's ridiculous, because I personally met a 96-year-old elephant in the sanctuary that I volunteer at. And so to say that a 46-year-old elephant is too old is basically telling someone, a human, you know, at 40, just to pack it in and call it a day because you're too old to retire or to do anything. And it's just
right.
It's uneducated responses. But the zoo has done a really good job. And you know why people believe that she's too old? Because she looks like she is. She's so unwell that it's not
right.
Hard to think that maybe she is old, because she doesn't walk well because of her arthritis, and she looks really not well at all. So people believe the rhetoric, unfortunately. If we could see her moved, I bet we would see a completely different elephant.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and that's
she's
what
happy.
I was telling that one lady.
Yep.
I was like, look, if you had to walk on concrete being over 1,000 feet, for 44 years, you might be walking a little sideways, too.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right. Yep.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to stir up too much, because they'll just kick me off the page, but, you know, people got to stand
as
up.
As you express any concern about Lucy or ask any difficult questions, they will pretty quickly block and ban you from the site.
Yeah,
so they
I
like
think.
To control those kind of comments.
Yeah, control freaks, right? They go on these big power trips. We got enough of those.
Well, they
can't,
world,
you know.
You know, they can't have negative comments on there for people to wake up and see what's going on. You
yes,
know,
exactly.
I was excited when Cher got involved, but I mean, if she's going to be involved along with some more of the Hollywood elite, they need to scream a lot louder because not enough people are hearing them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And we continue to try to reach out to more celebrities. So if anyone's got a connection out there with someone important or famous, please tell them about Lucy.
I might get a hold of Chris Kelly. Debbie, you know her, right? I know Debbie knows her.
I'm not familiar
with, been on the
with
show
Chris
before.
Kelly. But...
She's an actress, Hollywood actress, and she's turned animal advocate, but she's mostly cats, dogs, you know, type companion animals. But she does a lot. I may give her a holler about this stuff, too.
It can't hurt. We have had celebrities such as Bob Barker and William Shatner. We even had Paul McCartney allow a display about Lucy at one of his concerts. So we have had some, but nobody that's been able to accomplish what Lucy needs them to accomplish as of yet.
Yes.
Maybe
and
we need to
ladies,
get some Canadian celebrities.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. More people.
Yeah,
and
we
ladies,
we keep working on it.
I got another caller calling in. We're down here to 5 minutes. And, Ray, go ahead and stay on air, okay?
Okie doke.
The mama cat, she's my animal warrior sister there, Marianne. She supports these shows a lot. But I got area code 905. You're live and on the air. Welcome aboard to Animal Action Radio. Go ahead. You have any comments or questions for the guests, please? Go ahead. Hello? Can you hear me? Yeah, can you hear me?
Are you speaking
Hello?
To me?
Yes, you're live and on the air. Do you have any comments or questions?
Well, I'd like to say, Debbie, I want to thank you so hard for helping Lucy.
Yes, everybody, you know, because I'm here for Lucy and I want to keep doing it. I'm standing with you, with all of you, with Lucy. You know, I have to look back. We did several shows on Lucy, and we're going to continue. You know, just like did it on Nosy the Elephant, and I did a couple shows on Billy the Elephant out in California. I mean, we're not going to give up. I'm with you.
Right. So my question to Marianne is, how can we, as average Canadians, what can we do to try to help Lucy and try to help Leap and Free the Wild? What can we do?
Well, please visit our website, www.leapforlucy.com. On the landing page there, there's a couple of automated letters that you can click on that will be sent to politicians here in our area requesting that Lucy have an independent veterinary examination. We have a petition, a new one related to SHARE's efforts in Free the Wild, urging, you know, the zoo to accept the offer. Although they did reject the offer, Free the Wild still has the offer on the table to the Edmonton Valley Zoo to bring in the experts, so to continue to pressure them that way. On our website and on our Facebook page, we have a post that says how you can help Lucy, which will list a bunch of different things you can do, which will also include contact information for the zoo director, for the Minister of Environment, for all our city council and our mayor. I do want to mention we're just about to have a municipal election here. So we're pleased about that because we've gotten nowhere with our current city council. So we're hoping that, and we're busy reaching out to all the candidates right now, hoping that, you know, we can get some of them on board, and should they become elected, that they will be champions for Lucy on council. So anyone emailing all of our officials, you can find all that contact information on our website and on our Facebook page. And just sharing on social media everywhere that you can. And reaching out if you know anyone in the media, any celebrities that you may have a connection with, and just share Lucy's story. We would definitely appreciate that.
Yeah,
it
takes teamwork,
so
right? Hey, and thank you so much for calling and listening anytime, okay? The lady that just called in, and, you know, thank you for your meaningful words. And it takes teamwork, all of us together. We are, you know, we have to do something. We can't just sit idle because this has been going on so long. But like I said, you know, spread the word about Lucy, these shows, get involved, you know, and call in anytime you want to. And thank you to all you advocates out there. Big shout out to all of you. You know, all of you rock. Lucy Edmonton Advocates Project. Keep it up. Don't give up. And a big, we got it down there a minute, ladies. Ray Bittner, a.k.a. Mama Cat, thank you for calling in and being a big part of this Animal Advocates Radio family here. And Animal Warrior sister. And Marianne, I want to thank you so much. And your big team out there helping Lucy. Don't give up. And I want to invite you back again and again, okay? And
I hope one day I can come back and we can report that Lucy is going to be planning a trip to the United States,
sanctuary.
To one of the beautiful sanctuaries there.
Oh,
let's hope.
Hope
that would
pray,
be wonderful.
Everyone. But in the call, I said, you know, thank you for calling in. Keep hope, you know, tuning in, because this platform is for all the animals in need and distress, you know, from every angle. So whatever we can do, I want to. Next week will be closed down, but the following October 7th will be welcome Kate Brindle back. And I want to thank all you listeners out there, new listeners. I mean, thank you so much for tuning in, and so glad you could join us. And hope you keep returning and take that action. That is the key to unlock the door to all changes. And Lucy the Elephant, we love you, and justice for Lucy, freedom for Lucy. Let's all do our part and come in stronger and stronger. Stronger voices, stronger actions, and let's see her to a sanctuary. Good night, everyone, and hope you have a nice and peaceful evening. And a big shout out to my mother, Pat, a.k.a. Moose. She's tuning in. Love you, Mom. You're wonderful, a beautiful woman inside and out. Thank you for your support. Good night, everyone. And
good night,
see you
good night,
on
ladies.
October 7th. Thank
Thanks,
you, Mary.
Marianne.
Another great show. And thank you,
Thanks
Ray.
To the callers as well. Thank you.
Yeah, and the caller, thank you so much. And I didn't get your name, but thank you for calling in. And I hope you get involved. Bye-bye, everybody. Good night. Call in hand. United we stand. Against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everyone.